morning.
That's nice. Good job. I did want to throw in one more quick thing. If you are engaged and you are interested in, Sarah and I do six, we kind of do it differently now, but we do basically a six-part series on being engaged. We call it our premarital counseling. Part of it's with people. Part of it is just you guys and being right. If you are interested in that at all, we're going to start up a fall class. And that's going to start up here in the next couple of weeks. So go ahead and write. If you haven't seen that, you haven't already gotten the question about it, there's going to be a counseling in the card. We're going to be happy to have you in our class. It's a really exciting stuff. You know, NLCF has been really foundational in my life in a lot of ways. I came in as a freshman in 1992. The last time we had a losing season in football, the last time that that we didn't go to bowl game, a while ago. But I looked for a long walk for a bunch of different things, but I really didn't. I didn't try it very hard. I kind of got into the community there with Much Improvement. But we didn't have an awesome Much Improvement Bible study like I have now. And I just kind of, like, that was just my community, but I didn't find a group of Christians embedded in Much Improvement. But I didn't really find a group of Christians that I could speak to that really sharpened me. For about 2.5 years in school, is where I finally found NLCF. And NLCF was much smaller back then. We filled up about this. About these two sections right here. And we didn't have any other services or anything like that. So it was a little harder to find. But when I did, I found this place where I was. I hope you're saying that. I hope you're saying that. If you're sitting down, I'm saying this is the place I need to be. We're going to talk today about James 1. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, we're going to stay in four particular verses of the story of James 1. James 1 tells us a lot about how we are to live. The whole book of James does. Some books are more theological in nature. Some books are more poetic in nature and tell us kind of grandiose things about God. James tells us a lot. There's a lot of theology there that tells us a lot about how to live our life as well. James is not a huge book to read. And just in the fact that you read books, had a huge power. And this is part of it. Let me start at verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Where it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to a word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after eating what he saw, goes away and immediately sits in and listens. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom," we'll talk about that later, "the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, we're going to stick this part with our first 1974. Okay? So, yeah, a lot of times they go out. So Ivan Drago was like the evil Soviet boxer, right? Who had been medically changed by Soviet technology, you know, and he had been pumped up with steroids, and he was this massive beast of like kind of, you know, super Soviet man, you know, who just epitomized everything that was supposedly evil in the world. And this just terrible American caricature of what was really going on in the Soviet Union. But Soviets chanting Rocky, Rocky, because you know he was like he kept taking every hit and every punch, and he just kept coming and he just kept coming. And by then the Soviets are yelling for Rocky, and then they hug at the end, and it's like everything is going great. And eventually, that's kind of what it was. The Cold War was coming to a close. The relations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union were starting to get stronger. There was talk of more of a freedom-based society, as we think about it. We both had nuclear weapons. about 10 years ago, in the span of the PI, sleeping, and the waves are coming in, and they're splashing out water. You know, they've got probably got buckets and splashing out things. They're freaking out and wondering, what is he doing asleep? And they wake him up, and they're like, Jesus, aren't you going to help us at least bail out some water? But I think in the back of their mind is, I think we can do something about this. If not, I need to sleep up. Like all the fish are about to get captured, and they're pushing hard, and they're like, swim, swim, go, go, push. And she's like, beep, 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 kind of floating around the booby. Back to it. What? take chances. Or we say the opposite of that, and we say, be safe. Be safe. Be safe. Okay? Be safe. But I'm in the middle of a boat, and there are waves and water crashing all around me, and this thing might flip. Be safe. But I'm getting ready to walk out on the water here, and no one has ever done this before. It's apparently Jesus. He's walking towards me. Okay, be safe. Imagine that the other disciples are like, oh, be safe, Jesus. Good luck. You know, I mean, but I'm heading to this tribe in the middle of nowhere that has never heard the name of Jesus, that is very violent, and I'm coming in to bring the name of Christ. Can you imagine saying to me, oh, be safe? That's not the point. And as far as I can remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the pastor here, you can come correct me if I'm wrong after this, but as far as I can remember, thinking through Scripture, that is not really a term that's used. In fact, the promise suggests that we will have trouble. In this world, we will have trouble. We very rarely claim that promise, right? Sometimes we talk about, like, going to Scripture, have a promise, and go and claim it. And, you know, we can claim lots of different things, but very rarely we're like, yes, God, are going to have trouble in this world, and I want to claim that, and I want to make it my own. Bring that into my life. Bring that trouble on. I've heard people pray that before, and but that is very true about our life. Now, the rest of us will claim that I give you my peace, that where you will walk my brother-in-law, when he was a bit younger, when he was a bit younger in his faith, he said, if I don't enjoy something, I think it's God's probably not calling me. And I looked at him and I literally said, what Bible are you reading? Because I think about the disciples, the original 12, right? And if you take away Judas, you have those 11. So we did that differently today. We're going to read some scripture together as a community of God. Maybe you've been in church before and you've read scripture and you've said, Jesus said, that they know your God. Well, I want us to read it together out loud with a little bit of inflection. And these are things that God calls us to do. Can we go to the next slide? So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What I want us to do is just to read this together out loud. It's in your notes too as well. Flip that over if you don't want to read that from overhead. But let's read this together. that's the point. Read it, get through it, live it. Now, I understand fully that certain verses are harder to go and live than others. Certain parts of the scripture. That's why we look at the scripture as a whole and we look at it in context. If you just kind of open up the Bible and spin it around and go, ah, and you point to something in Numbers and it says, and you say, I'm going to go live this out today, and you look down and say, 52,000. And that's the verse. Well, God, I don't really know how to live out 52,000 cattle today. I don't have any cattle. I know there's some out in the farms here at Tech. Is there something you want me to do with them today? It's more in a certain verses and more difficult. You just can't point to them and go and live them out. And that's okay. But there's a reason why we gather together. Like, there's a reason why we come together on times like this, why we do engagements, Bible studies, or whatever small group that you're a part of, is so that we can learn together. And it's the reason why we have tons and tons of books out there from people who've walked before us that tell us how to understand the scriptures, and we do that in community as a large group. So we come together, we study, we learn, we read, and then we go and we do. And in the engage groups, we'll talk about them today. Out there, I'll be out there. You can find me if you haven't gotten involved in them yet. You'd like to see some of the engage groups that we want to see. That's what we do in